saw my baby then. She was stretched out on that long white table, so young, so sweet, so fair. Well, let her go, God bless her. Well, wherever her soul may be, she could have searched this whole world over.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Haunt Heads. We're so happy that you can be here with us. I'm very excited to present you guys with this new episode. We did kind of like a little dinner party, and myself and Mimi and her husband sat down, and we spoke a little bit about the strange case of Elisa Lam. For those of you who don't know, a little bit of background about Elisa Lam. She was a college student from Canada, and she went to Los Angeles to a hotel very close to Skid Row called the Cecil Hotel, otherwise known as the Stay on Main. And she was there for a very short time, and then eventually was found on the rooftop in one of the hotel's supposedly secure water tanks. You know, it's very exciting for me to be able to present this case to you, just because it has been talked about so much. So many people have conspiracy theories about it. I don't know if they're true or false. I guess I'll leave that up to you guys to decide. But again, thank you so much for listening. And if you would like to read a little bit more about Elisa Lam, literally put her name into Google and see what pops up, because the results are kind of insane. If you don't know anything at all about Elisa Lam, well, you're about to. In this episode, we have a very special guest. Mimi's husband, Bill, is kind of stepping in to give us a little bit of a counselor's background. I like to call him a shrinky dink. But he's coming in to kind of give us some background about bipolar disorder, and exactly whether or not she was in some kind of a psychological state that she could actually wind up in the water tank of her own volition, or if somebody actually put her in there. So I'd like to thank Bill Steven. He's an LPC, a licensed professional counselor. He's also a CSAC, a clinical substance abuse counselor. So he's basically, you know, one of the card-carrying members, one of the experts in the field. So very interested to hear what he has to say. And again, thank you so much, Bill, for helping us out. You are a peach. Oh, and because I don't get to say it at the end of this episode, make sure you stay spooky.
That's what I do. I'm just like, need that? Nope. Need that? Nope. All right, so... What's that? Oh, no, I'm good.
Does that work, or is it not?
I'm illuminated.
Okay.
I'm enjoying my...
Is it too much light?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm enjoying my vegetables, and I am illuminated.
Got it.
So I'm A-okay. All right. So, I think that probably the first thing that we should do is kind of set out the timeline. So... On January 26th, Elisa Lam, who is a college student from British Columbia,
right.
Canada, travels to California. She is last seen at the Cecil Hotel on January 31st, and her parents find it strange that she hasn't contacted them, because she's one of those people that contacts every single day,
right.
Sometimes several times a day. She's very close to her family. On February 1st, we get that super strange footage from the elevator that we're going to kind of go over.
Now, can I ask a question about that? I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, no.
That was January 31st at around midnight, if I remember, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
but
so
there is discussion that the timestamp is slightly off.
Right. They messed up the timestamp, and the doctor,
yeah.
I'm going to use the words doctored,
mm-hmm.
the footage. Okay.
Yeah. So let's see. February 1st, we get that strange footage from the elevator. She was due to check out on February 1st. She never did. So everything that she owned was just in the room, just kind of abandoned. On February 6th, The LAPD holds this press conference. And it's like this big deal. And her parents are there. And they're like standing behind the police chief, you know, and they're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. Then February 14th and the 15th, the LAPD releases elevator footage. So the public at large get to see that. On February 19th, Lamb's body is found floating in the water tank. Prior to the body being found, and this is kind of, this was part of the plot for the film Dark Water, they start to complain that there's low water pressure and the water is very dark.
I want to know how many people
good.
Drank that water. Because let me set that capital D, disgusting.
Yeah. So,
I'm surprised people have not died.
It's pretty
water.
Bad. So yeah, apparently it's like the water is literally black and there's like a foul odor and it's just something's not right. So the elevators take to the roof, or the employees take to the roof, they find the body, basically.
Right.
So, the note that I have here is for the timestamp on the video. So the purpose of timestamping, specifically, is just in case that film has to be used in a court of law.
Right.
When you look at the timestamp on the bottom of that video, I don't know if it's like an old system and it's controlled differently, or like if it had to be converted to digital or what happened, but if you look at that timestamp, it's all muddled and it's like black stuff all over it. And there have been people on YouTube who have spent like hours and hours and hours and hours trying to decode these, you know, these minutes. And trying to figure out exactly how long she was doing this and how long she was doing that. But it's so muddled, it's really difficult. So, let's see. So, apparently, the time that Lamb is in the elevator is either from 11:55 to midnight or the time up to 8 a.m. Those are the two time frames.
Okay,
so it's a pretty, it's a big time frame.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a big black hole. Now, midnight makes more sense because February 1st, that's the last time that she's seen.
Right.
Also, the video has been slowed down. YouTuber Cody Fry sped it back up. And it makes her actions look a lot less strange. You know how she's in the elevator and she's doing, like, I call them spider arms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's almost like she's double-jointed, so she's able to, like, bend her wrists a certain way.
Right.
It looks really super weird. Well, it was slowed down, so of course it's going to look weird.
Yeah.
But it makes no sense to me that they would remove a minute and then slow it down.
Right.
And then, you know, mess up the timestamp so that you couldn't tell what time it was, unless the LAPD was like, there's a person of interest in this 1 minute of footage.
Right. The mayor comes walking by, or the mayor tries to, I'll just say
right.
The mayor, whoever the hell it is now. That,
something,
yeah, something's,
you know,
going on with that, and I think it's something very significant.
Yeah, the messing with the tape, I don't know. That
why
just,
can't we get the straight tape? And
it just makes no sense.
We're actually living through that right now with the Las Vegas shooter, where they still haven't
given
a lot of in. I think they're due to, the judge says, no, you got to give the tape up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It happens all the time with police departments. I'm sorry.
It's pretty ridiculous. I mean, if you want to, I think I have notes about this a little bit later, but this is a good place to put it. If you think about the reasons why people collect videotape of certain times in certain places, you do that so that you can keep people safe and so that you can gain information and insight into events that occur. So, for example, when Lamb steps out of the elevator, at the end of that hallway on the right-hand side, there's a camera.
Okay.
There is absolutely a camera right there. That there's a mirror right in front of the elevator. The walls are reflective on the elevator. You don't see anything. You know, and it's just, where's the tape from that hallway?
Right.
Where is the tape entering and exiting the hotel? Where is the tape of Elisa Lamb walking to her door?
Right.
You know, like, apparently she had to switch rooms or something because she had a problem with a roommate, or a roommate had a problem with her.
I had read that.
Or whatever.
Something. She was acting, they didn't say it.
She was acting weird, bizarre.
They moved her up to the fifth floor. Mm. So, it wasn't an altercation, but she was bothering somebody where she had to be. I was going to bring that up.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder if that somebody was the person that they cut out of the tape, and they cleared that person as a suspect. So they were like, well, we're not going to release this to the public with this person in there because they're not guilty, and that's defamation of character.
The way to do that is, there's a person on the tape, they're a brunette, whatever, blah, blah, this person is not a person of interest. Why? You're leaving yourself open to all this speculation when you mess around with that.
Which is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
That is 110% what happened.
Well, like, I'm going to skip ahead, I think. I'm sorry, but the guy who goes to the fire escape and proves, hey, this is one of the easiest roofs to get on. It's easy. Yeah. And I go, okay, so fire escape. Because I read in a couple different areas, like, oh, it was so easy to get access to the roof. And I go,
well, there was a YouTuber
yes.
that was in the Cecil Hotel, walked up to that door.
Yeah, and he proved.
With the security, thing on it that said, if you push this, an alarm will sound. He pushed the door. He waited there for, 5 minutes. Nothing. Wow. No sound. No, nothing. Nobody came to check it out.
There's somebody who used a fire escape, and it's like, perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can get it. She probably had access to the roof very easily.
Well, this is the other thing.
In a couple days.
They were able to go into that hotel, go on every floor, figure all this stuff out. Not one single person said to them, hey, are you supposed to be here?
Why are you here?
Are you a guest here? Like, what's going on?
Right.
And it just goes to show the types of people that go through there.
See, I wanted to say...
Because people live there.
You know, the Cecil Hotel, is that like a portal to hell or what?
Because if you read who's in that place at that time,
it's like, ah!
Well, it's like Richard Ramirez spent some time there and apparently took some victims there. It's very close to Skid Row.
Yeah, it is literally Skid Row. And then the other guy with his son, and he was a released sexual assault perpetrator at one point.
Oh.
He didn't want to move.
Yeah.
Wait, I got his name. I don't have his name. Damn, Richard. Underwater type. There were two serial killers in that hotel at one point.
Yeah.
Bad stuff, all right? I do not have a good feeling about this whole dang building.
Yeah. Well, and there were some people who speculated that Lam was having a psychotic episode, and the reason why she was acting the way that she was because she was off her medication, or she had not taken the appropriate amount of her medication.
Right.
And so she was basically seeing things and whatever. She was playing something called the elevator game.
Now, I understand what they're trying to get at with that.
Yeah.
She does push a lot of buttons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. That's why I'm leaving that alone, because I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And then there was a tie to somebody in Asia who also died in the elevator game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In very similar circumstances. But, I don't know. I did find out what medication she's on, though, which is more my bailiwick. for bipolar disorder, we got to be very careful about bipolar disorder. There's more than one.
Right. So so maybe before you tell me what kinds of medication she was on, can you kind of explain to the listeners what kinds of bipolar disorder there are?
Okay.
And then what kind she had.
I think that's significant to what we're dealing with, because it might be able to explain some of the things, some of the myths that I think are going on. I've been a counselor for more than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a major psychiatric hospital this year that will remain nameless, so I don't want to get sued by that. I was there for almost 12 years. I'm now in a very large group in southeastern Wisconsin. I deal mostly with addictions, but I certainly do a lot of mental health work, too.
Right.
I work 6 days a week, so I got no problem seeing a ton of people. I don't do medications, but I deal with them every day.
Right.
She's on pretty much the standard cocktail that you would think somebody would be on for bipolar disorder.
Okay.
She's on Wellbutrin, which is as an antidepressant, it's kind of a home run hitter. The thing about Wellbutrin, in my humble opinion, is it either works or it doesn't. You will find out in a matter of 3-4 days if this stuff is working or not. And what I mean by not working, literally spike a manic episode. We'll talk about that. So that's one of the reasons why it worked for this person. So that's a good sign, actually. Anybody who tries to quit smoking and they take Zyban, that is a very low dose of Wellbutrin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Next on the list, Effexor. That's been an antidepressant for years and years. It kind of hits the anxious side of depression. Nothing unusual there.
Right.
I've never encountered any psychotic side effects with either one of those two. Seroquel is another one. That's something that when I see Seroquel, I immediately think bipolar disorder. That is one of those medications that really slows you down. Typically, you're taking that at night because it's going to help with sleep and things like that. You wouldn't take that at 8 a.m. and go, all right, I'm at work in 45 minutes. No, you're going to be drilled into a pillow in 45 minutes.
Right.
So that is a medication, when a doctor's giving somebody that, they really want to slow them down. What's going on in their head.
Okay.
So that makes sense with what we're talking about here. And then Lamictal is the only one of those that's kind of a new age. Shouldn't say this has been around since the 90s. That is a mood stabilizer. That is not an antidepressant. You give that to somebody, again, who's a bipolar person.
Okay.
What we're finding out is when you give people anti-seizure medications, which is Lamictal, Seroquel, you give that to somebody with seizures. Well, you also give it to somebody with bipolar disorder.
So would you say it's more of like an umbrella drug?
Well, yes and no. It has more than one use.
Okay.
So doctors are able to sometimes use things where the primary use is what we're finding out is the anti-seizures are also really good for kind of slowing the electricity down in our brain a little bit, which is really hard to do, and it stops that bipolar swings. If I could talk a little bit about bipolar disorder. Where we are here in southeastern Wisconsin, Lake Michigan dominates. I talk about bipolar disorder, the people I see. Think of being out in Lake Michigan with these waves really high.
Right.
15, 18, 20-foot waves, right? We're getting sick, we're throwing up, we're off the side of a boat, stuff like that. That's what bipolar disorder is.
Ooh.
We get these waves where when we're high, that is called manic. We get all this energy, we don't know what to do.
Right.
Spending a lot of money, gambling issues at times, multiple sexual partners, hate to say it. That's what we're typically seeing along with other stuff. A lot of impulse control, it isn't there. So, ooh, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. Yeah.
Right.
And you're not sleeping a whole lot. Normally, I ask people, hey, what are you sleeping like? If you're not sleeping right, what else is going right in your life?
Right.
So I kind of drill for bipolar disorder that way. And when I'm describing it, I say, okay, this is fluctuations in mood and also in energy.
Right.
I mean, the 1970s definition of depression is somebody who sits in their bed and cries all day and never gets out, and they've got no energy whatsoever. If somebody's really, really, really depressed, you will see it. It's just, everything's a chore. So for this girl, we weren't seeing a whole lot of that with the history that we got. I would say she was managing pretty well. From what I could determine, she was a college student. Bipolar disorder, it generally starts, depending upon which kind you have, in your late teens, 17, 18, 20s, obviously. The significant part is she had to just about drop out of school. She went down to like one or two classes. So something was going on there, but they always talked about depression. They never talked about, hey, she was staying up for a week, she was vacuuming her apartment at 3 a.m.
Right.
Because you and I talk talked about that in this morning. We were getting stuff to eat. We were shopping, and she was playing it for me. So, when you're talking about bipolar disorder, you will always find the depressed side of things.
Yeah.
Always. Every time. It's really, really hard to get the manic side, the high side. And I think she was what we call hypomanic. She's okay. Not way up there.
Right.
But she's got more energy, and kind of the thoughts are kind of being a waterfall at night and things more than other folks. So
right.
She wasn't, oh my God, this person needs to be in the hospital. Mm-hmm. We have no history of that.
Right.
That also leads me to believe that there's probably not any psychosis that's going on either. So I'm going to ruin everyone's day as far as the elevator and all that. There is no evidence of that other than what you see on that tape, and I highly suspect to all of that. Yes?
Actually, on the autopsy, they said that she had all the antidepressant medication they would expect to see in
yes.
her, but they didn't have the antipsychotics
right.
In her. I don't know if I want to divulge.
And those numbers were skewed, right?
Right.
They were off.
I don't know if I want to divulge my sources or not, but other than the video that we all watched, a quick Google search, the Wikipedia part was, that's where I got the four medications, and obviously her parents were very involved, so they were a
right.
very good resource. So mm-hmm. the LAPD probably knows exactly what she was on.
Sure.
But like I said, the Seroquel is and the Lamictal are the two that are going to kind of bring her down or keep her level. Mm-hmm. And she's on two antidepressants. Boy, you know, I wouldn't go after a doctor for any of that.
Right.
They're doing what they're supposed to do. Some of the other medications that you sometimes see, Depakote is, Lamictal is probably a good replacement for Depakote. Depakote's famous for people gaining weight. The number one medication for that, the thing with that is you need to be pretty close to a doctor because they have to do blood draws like every three
right.
or 4 months to make sure it'll come to me. Everyone's screaming, and I know what it is! It's like,
right.
So,
that's okay. I'm sure that they do that to
yeah.
us quite often.
So,
they're like, you idiots! Yeah.
So, I guess I can't say medically, because I'll get sued, and I disappointed my mother I didn't become a doctor. But I'm not seeing a whole lot of psychosis with this person. Except, I will say this before I get to the cops, and I'm just in case you haven't figured it out, I'm taking over.
Mm.
There's alcohol in her system. Now here's the deal.
But
with
not
that.
Very much.
I was gonna say the same thing. But she's sitting in like a tub of I don't know thousands of gallons of water for what 3 weeks, two weeks at least.
Yeah.
And they, we went into the organs, but they said we didn't get a lot of blood. Man, I'm telling you, that is a big red flag for me. And here's why. If the Urinal Sentinel, or whoever owns them this year here in Milwaukee, was going to do us any favors at all,
Sentinel.
they would tell us the blood alcohol levels of perpetrators of crime
mm-hmm.
and victims of crime.
Right.
Well over 80 to 85% of victims of crime, especially violent crimes, have alcohol in their system.
Right.
Well over 85 to 90% of perpetrators have alcohol in their system.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this stuff, it works. Here's what it does. It goes to the front of your brain and it starts turning stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
You tell your boss how you really feel. You know, stuff that you probably shouldn't do.
Right.
It's harder to read books. And, you don't have to get super drunk.
Right.
You know, I mean, the intoxication level in the state of Wisconsin is 0.08. That ain't a lot.
Right. So you would say that video footage that we're seeing, that's not her having some sort of psychotic episode. That's
I'll tell you this, it looks like it is.
It does.
But we got it. I'm going to say, a doctored video. I don't know. I think I have an idea what the police department's trying to do with that, and I'm going to run with that in a second or two. But getting back to the alcohol part, I'm not sure she didn't have more alcohol in her system at the time she was in the elevator.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. She's in a really bad area.
I don't even think Really Bad covers it, but
she encountered some sort of sociopath. We can go down that alley if you really want to,
yeah.
But you know, a lot of those, some of those, and they're guys, but 90% of the prison population is male. Males are tend to be a lot more violent than females.
Right.
It could just have been a random person. It could have been the guy who's living there with his kid. Neither one of those guys were good, and they were not happy that hotel was trying to upgrade and then charge more money.
Yeah,
I don't think that was the motive, but somebody said, hey, one of the motives is if we kill people at this hotel, it's going to suck, and they're never going to raise their rates. So
there's so much. Yeah, there's so much speculation about...
But, what a better place to plant a body after you're done with them than in something like that? There's no explanation as to how she closed the door to this water thing.
Well, somebody would have had to do that for her.
So here's
a little bit about this water tank, okay? So the water tank, located on the roof.
Right.
There is no ladder to get into the water tank.
Right.
So somebody... Provided a ladder, or this person knew where a ladder was, that they were able to put a ladder there so that either she could climb in there herself, which why in the hell would you do that, or he or potentially she, that person, killed her and then dumped her in the water tank, or gave her something perhaps that, like, I don't know.
Right. I'm not a CSI person.
But that water tank was not full.
Right.
That lid is very heavy.
The clothing
that she was wearing, it must have been dropped on the roof at some point because it was filled with like sediment from the rooftop.
That. Right.
And it's floating next to her in the water.
Along with the key card for her door and a watch. So I'm thinking, okay, somebody's taking everything she has and dumping it in there going, no one's ever going to look up here. There's four of those damn tanks. They're on cement. It's like, who's going to look there?
Yeah.
Plus, if you're the cops, you need a damn, how do they find her? They need a, because of the water, but they need a damn ladder to get in there.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking she encountered some sociopath. Or there's that boyfriend that she met in San Diego. She thought he was a good guy, but hey, you know, things go wrong. She had blood in her rectum, something like that.
And
I'm thinking, now here again, I was going to say, I'm not a CSI guy, so I don't know how bodies decompose or stuff like that, but if there was a rape kit done or anything on her fingernails, which is usually a defense thing, I'd like to know that.
Which should have released that.
I'm assuming no marks on the body, no defense wounds that you would normally see.
Well, that's the other thing. So
she ran into a sociopath.
She's in the tank. How did she get in the tank? So if she's unconscious...
She got put there.
But if you get put somewhere, think about that. So... There's no ladder, so that person has to climb a ladder, carrying her.
A dead weight,
and then throw her in the tank. But as she's going through the opening on the tank, you would think that there would be, like, scratches or bruises or something.
Well, there's a couple scenarios that are going through my head, and I really don't want my wife to listen to this because she's going to know how bad of a person I really am. But how about this? What if she dies hours or maybe a day or two before she gets put in there? This is a hotel. Like they said, there's people coming and going all the time. There could be some other, I don't want to say serial killer, but let's say there's some dude who, ex-military that, can I say, likes Asian chicks? I don't even know about it. It doesn't matter. But just, she drinks, he drinks, or he doesn't drink and she drinks. He plies her with alcohol. Boy, that's been going on for thousands of years. And after he does what he wants to do with her, or just out and out kills her, and it's like, I got to do something with the body. It's, what, when was she discovered? The 19th?
She was discovered...
The 8th, the 17th, the 19th? It's over two
the
weeks.
The 19th.
Zing. So, I mean...
Yeah.
This place is hell. There's five floors of hell. I mean, I want to know some of the people that work there.
Well, as somebody who has worked for a very seedy motel chain in the past that I will not mention, but there will be a book coming soon.
Cool.
I ran into some pretty interesting colorful people.
I bet you don't ask a lot of questions, and I bet your boss basically says, hey, if they're paying, stay out of their way. Because I'm thinking the occupancy rate of this place is pretty low. It's not like they're jammed in a rafters every night, and it's like, hey, no vacancy. I don't think you ever see that. This place is famous for people dying in it. So, you know, everybody's thinking, well, how did she get in there? She could have been dead for days before she got in. Now, I'm not a CSI guy. But this is the way sociopaths do things.
Yeah.
Not every sociopath wants to rip off your head and shit down your neck.
Right.
But there are some who do.
Oh, yeah.
And it only takes one. She's alone. We know she has a pretty significant psychiatric illness where she had to cut down on her schoolwork. It speaks well that she's in college.
Right.
But something was going on. It always seems to be depression. It could have been this dude from San Diego, and he's driving around in some convertible bull right now going, haven't caught me, ain't ever going to catch me.
Right, yeah.
Who knows? And the parents seem extremely responsible in the interview. They get on the plane, they go down there right away, they're given information.
And apparently her sister as well went down there. But yeah, I mean, it's... To your point of people go to the Cecil Hotel to die.
Or just die when they're there. It's right? Like, shit, I gotta stay somewhere.
Or meet to some untimely end. Elizabeth Short, the Black Dahlia, was last seen at the Cecil Hotel.
So, you know, I had to look on that.
And then she's found in a lot bisected.
That is
a big smile mark on her face.
Number one unsolved case.
Yeah, I mean, it was really something. For police at the time, it was insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a dark past, and I think it's got a dark present.
Yeah, I think it does because of where it's located. That must have been a pretty cool place in L.A. at one point, but that seems like
that's the other part of it. Like, she apparently left the hotel and, like, went to have lunch or dinner or something at like some sort of restaurant around there. She went to the last bookstore.
Yeah.
And in order to get to the last bookstore, I'm pretty sure that you have to go through Skid Row.
Oh, really?
At some point.
She posted pictures.
So you're going to come into contact
Skid Row.
With all manner of...
Like, hey, this is what it's like. These are people who are there
people.
On her phone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but something I probably should do is go through the different types of bipolar disorder.
Yes, absolutely.
It's on one of my two rants, and I forgot about it. There are two different types of bipolar disorder. And Lord, this confuses me to no end every time I try to do it. There's bipolar 1 and bipolar 2, and they are significantly different. Different in probably what we're talking about here.
Okay.
Now, here again, picture yourself on Lake Michigan with all these waves. That's more bipolar 1 than bipolar 2. I got the wrong one here. Bipolar 1, you need to have the following criteria. You need to have a manic episode. Okay, manic episodes, it may be preceded by something that's not quite, or it may be a depressive episode, but you really need to have an actual ham way up here. Where, like I said, you're painting your apartment at 3 in the morning, your neighbors are always complaining about what's going on, it's not unusual to, like, hang out a Potawatomi for 8 days straight and going, shit, I lost all my money, I gotta hit this, and you never do, or, hey, 4 or 5 guys is better than one, I'll just see them one at a time, which you would never do. You have this feeling of kind of grandeur where, hey, people really, really like that manic feeling. And it's very, very difficult to get those folks into treatment.
Right.
Because they say, the medication slows me down. I don't like it. I feel moggy. I'm not as creative. Well, you're also not crazy. So people usually resist that. When you're in the depression side, it's like, okay, whatever I have to do. Yeah, I'll do the... depression part. So the disease kind of gets you to believe, hey, I'm just depressed.
Right.
So don't stop the top part, just give me a bottom so I don't, mm-hmm. you know, want to rip right. off my own head and corrupt all my mind. The prevalence for bipolar 1, which is where we really have that mania in the United States, this is significant. 12-month prevalence, blah, is right around 1.1%. It's about 1.1% for America. It's okay. around 3.3% for the rest of the world. We are three times more likely here in the United States to have somebody who is bipolar 1 than just about anywhere else.
Well,
now, a doctor who's really good at this told me once, that kind of makes sense. How did America get developed? Well, you know, people were sailing over here in the 1800s and 1900s. That's not going to be stable folks who have great stuff going on in France and England and Germany. No, it's going to be folks who are more adventurous. They're kind of anxious. They're, hey, you know, I want to see what's over that next hill. I got nothing going here anyway.
Right.
So we kind of self-select for that kind of thing, which is bad for what we're dealing with, because there's a real strong genetic component to this.
Yeah.
You are over 10 times more likely to be bipolar 1 if a first-degree relative is mom, dad, brother, sister. There's a strong genetic component to that. So that's something that I really wanted to get people to know. Now, I don't think this person was bipolar 1. Because we're not really hearing a whole lot of manic stuff. I think she was
right.
actually bipolar 2, which is quite a bit different.
Yeah.
Slants much more towards the depression side. So that's why I'm saying, I don't think she was psychotic. She certainly could have been at that one time, but there's
right.
really not a lot of evidence for that. You can get so depressed that you're psychotic, but that's really, really rare. She probably would not have been in college if that was happening.
Right.
And I don't think she would have been functioning very well on her own, in a different country, coming down the western coast of the United States.
Right.
That's not something that happens on January 31st. That's something that's going to build over time.
Right.
That all leads me to believe there's no evidence that she was a heavy drinker.
Right.
Although we know 50% of the people who have bipolar disorder tend to drink.
Right.
Because it cuts those tops off again.
Yeah.
That movement. This is all leading me to believe she met somebody and it was not a good guy. And there was ample opportunity with her traveling alone where they're at this hotel.
Right.
And
yeah.
A lot of sociopaths are very charming individuals.
Yeah, well, and I mean, you know, this particular YouTuber that I've been kind of watching, I've been watching a lot of his videos.
Mm-hmm.
But he discussed how he did not feel safe going down there by himself.
Right.
He got another YouTuber to go with him.
Yeah.
And there was going to be three of them, but one of them backed out at the last minute. So the two of them went down there, they had
yeah.
lunch,
yeah.
and they went to the Cecil Hotel and investigated it. If two kind of like big strapping guys don't feel
yeah.
safe,
right.
I can't imagine that Elisa Lam would have felt
yeah.
safe. And it makes me wonder, because as a Canadian, if I were booking a hotel, I would not be like, oh, God, I don't want to be by Skid Row because that place is terrible and full of drugs and homeless people and sociopathic, violent people. You know, like, I would not even think of that. That would not even come into my mind because I don't live there, I'm not from there, I've never visited there before. This hotel is cheap is what would come
Hell
into my
yeah.
What would come into my mind.
We went to Vegas in February and my only criteria was, how much?
It's like, right.
You know, mm-hmm. yeah. But you know, there's another thing that I kind of want to lead us to, and it has to do with the police department. I gotta wind up with this one. Hey, the LA Police Department, can you think of a bigger district than that? So they're
yeah.
dealing, their pie is huge, especially the pie of all the stuff that they're dealing with compared to, like, Milwaukee, let's say.
Right.
So the piece of pie that's crazy for them is gotta be pretty high.
Yep.
I know a guy...
There's something about that warm weather, too. That
yeah, well,
that, crazy.
That's another thing. Things don't shut down in the winter.
Yeah.
I mean, this was, what, January, February?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it's rolling 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
I met a guy, and whenever I say that, it's because I was seeing him. He was a he was an inspector for the Milwaukee Police Department for years and years and years. And he was on a homicide unit.
Yeah.
He's a private investigator now for different lawyers. He's got two or three lawyers that he works for. Guy's 64 years old, so he's long since retired from Milwaukee Police, and this is what he does. Mm. He says, I worked homicide. Mm. If you didn't clear 90% of your cases on homicide, you went to the head of the department. He said, look, I'm not cutting it. Send me to Bunko or something else. Right. I'm not doing it.
Yep.
Nowadays, he says, you're lucky if you clear 50% of your cases. And they said the same thing in L.A. Look, it's more wild. There's more crap going on. He said, we got all the career criminals locked up.
Right.
These are wild-ass 20-something kids on God knows what that are doing drive-bys. Hey, the drive-by was invented literally within the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay? Just drugs more than ever.
Right.
He says, nobody's going to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. 50% is not a bad batting average. Where 40 years ago, you know, when we were being born and our parents were, I was like, what? What do you mean murder? What do you mean crime?
Right.
So that's happening.
Yeah.
I think there was also a lot of pressure on the L.A. Police Department. Look, the last thing we want to hear is homeless murderers. Because that could be anybody.
This was also an international incident.
Yes, it is much
like you talk about stepping in shit.
Right.
That was elephant shit.
I'm sure it came down pretty hard, pretty fast. Hey, she was bipolar. This is a suicide. Get the hell off this case and leave it alone. We saw the same thing in Milwaukee with the Dahmer case.
Now, I was going to ask you about that. So your friend...
Oh, I got a lot on that.
Your friend who worked homicide.
Yes. Yeah.
Did he work Dahmer?
No.
He didn't?
The head therapist where I work, I can say this because he's dead, I'm not breaking confidentiality, she was Jeffrey Dahmer's, one of Jeffrey Dahmer's therapists. Let me start at the beginning. Yeah, this gets deep in a hurry. You got to remember this was early 1990s when he was going on trial. Mm-hmm. This was a two-week trial on TV. I remember videotaping it when I was in college. Just hitting record and going to one of my classes.
Freaking
me and my dad. This is what happens with Jeffrey Dahmer. And I'm saying this because this is what happens in police departments. Mm. The last victim was a kid. He was 14 or 15 years old. His name was Conorak Synthesymphone.
Yes.
I can't say that name any faster.
Right.
Okay, here's the setup. They're walking down an alley for the street, and an African-American woman who I think she had a connection to MPS. I think she might have been a teacher.
Yep.
She picks up the phone and calls the cops and says, hey, there's a guy that's dragging a kid. There's something wrong with him. He was just obliterated. He's dragging him from the tops of his feet, all right? Getting him by the arm and dragging him into a place. Just get a squad car over here.
Yeah.
Because she knew something was wrong. And it was dark, but she could still see.
Right.
Two cops come, and I know who they are, and not by reputation. Balzerzak and Gaybridge.
Right.
Those are the two cops that get on the scene. Now, why do I know that? I believe Balzerzak got a job. Was it the Grafton Police Department or a sheriff? He actually got a law enforcement job after that. Mm-hmm. Both of these guys, sad story, they get terminated almost immediately. Everything else, wrongful stuff. They both sue the city of Milwaukee. They win their cases. I don't think Gaybridge ever became a cop again, but destroyed their whole careers. Why? Philip Areola was the chief of police at that time, and he had a standing order, hey, knock it off with the homosexuals. Get off them. Don't harass them. Don't do any of this stuff. Get away from it. And this is one guy picking up another guy. He looked young. We don't know. This woman kept calling the cops, and she kept making such a problem for the day sergeant that finally they send two guys over to Dahmer's place because they write down his name, they write down the other kid's name. They said this kid was barely responsive.
Yeah.
But there weren't any marks, there wasn't any blood. He's basically dragging him back to his place to kill him.
Right.
And that's what he did. Wow. So the family goes wild. The two cops that get there, they see the white plastic thing, which is where all the acid is. People were literally grabbing the manager of that apartment by the shoulders and going, get into that goddamn apartment. It stinks to high heaven for months.
Wow.
They discover all this Jeffrey Dahmer stuff. Now, I know there was more than one seasoned investigator that physically got ill.
Oh, yeah.
In that apartment. Yep. We're talking about acid basically vaporizing people's bodies until you get to bone. That's what this guy did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Basically, the theory for the Milwaukee Police Department is, get away from this stuff.
Right.
Don't bust these. Don't do anything. It's bad for business.
Right.
It's, you know, people are hollering at the police department. It's the late 80s. It's 1990. Now, the therapist that I know, Jeffrey Dahmer, was a drinker.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of bad stuff. Alcohol turns that
he
stuff
did a lot of it while he was under the influence.
He's right. He was under the influence. He worked at Ambrosia Chocolate Factory, which is no longer around, I don't think. And he gets an OWI, and he sees the head therapist where I'm working at. And she goes, hey, he never really said a whole lot. He kept to himself, and he came to every session. Well, I mean, and everybody thinks as a therapist, like, oh my God, you had the greatest serial killer of the 20th century. What the hell do you mean you missed it?
Right.
I'm only as good as the information I get.
He took cabs all the time.
So he had the glasses. He wasn't a particularly outstanding looking guy.
My wife Joanne used to work for American United Taxi and had heard.
There you are.
Some of the stories about some of the cabbies helping him get his blue drums into the cabs.
Oh, really? Wow.
Which, I don't know, full or empty?
I don't know the answer.
Yeah,
empty,
so
but
we,
still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But,
you know, why? Well, you know, I'm an artist.
Right.
Chemicals.
I need a rain barrel.
Yeah, I buy paint.
I'm really into the fucking environment, and I need a rain barrel because I need to collect rainwater and save the wetlands.
Yeah. So, point of it is, hey, the Milwaukee Police Department, you can look back to, who was the blonde bomber? Lorenzo Bebenek or something. I mean, look, we got a long history in this town of, hey, shut your mouth, march straight ahead, don't say anything. I'm sure it's the same thing in L.A. They don't want to lift the lid on, oh my God, look at all these homeless people or what they do. Hey, find that area.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's squawking.
Right.
This girl doesn't know where the hell she is.
Yeah.
You know, environment-wise.
Yep.
I'm sorry. She seems like a very nice person, but I'm telling you, she ran into somebody. It could have been days. This guy could have mesmerized her for a couple days on the third floor, woo, or whatever.
Right.
She paid for it, man.
Yeah.
With her life.
Yep. So, according to this conspiracy theory website that I looked at called TribeWatch,
I love these.
Which, let me tell you, rabbit hole, motherfucker. You get on there at like 1 o'clock and you look at your watch, you think it's 5 minutes later, it's like 8 o'clock at night, you're like, what the hell?
I was up till 3 this morning.
It's like, what the fuck happened? But so their questions were, why wouldn't they trim the video to show the most pertinent info? Because you're trying to get information about this shit. Like, somebody was found dead floating in a water tank. You need to know what happened to that person. They ruled it an accidental death.
Now, there was a couple different... They checked a couple different boxes
they
with
did,
that.
They did, but they scratched them out.
See, and here again, I think somebody really put the hammer on Quincy or whoever that... The coroners. I'm not a conspiratorialist because the big thing about conspiracy theories is everybody's got to shut their mouth.
Right.
And as you know, I can't shut mine. Sorry, I don't think anybody else can shut theirs. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
But I do think it's like, look, straighten this out. It's a suicide. Mm-hmm. And you don't necessarily have to say those words. You can just, somebody gets the feeling.
Yeah. I mean, it really feels like, it feels like it came down to taking a box and just being done.
Right. Get off this case.
And, they had the option to deal with this in the right manner, and they decided instead to take a box and make it go away. because it was a cluster.
See, now
They checked accidental death,
and then they checked
suicide.
Unsure. No, it was undetermined.
Yes.
Yeah, I wrote that. And what the hell is undetermined? Well, whatever your imagination can.
Right.
You kind of brought this up, and we're never gonna know. How heavy are those damn doors on these water tanks?
It's not like 20 pounds.
Somebody's got it, but I'm going. Really?
I think they're like 20 pounds. And actually, when
three quarters full, so there's no way that she could close it. There's nothing to latch onto on the sides.
When you look at the water tank,
herself in there.
Right. I mean, when you look at the water tank from the top, they have pictures of some of the investigators looking in through the top with the lid open. They are teeny tiny, reflected in the water. They're like squares.
There's no way in hell
you're going to be able to get out of there once you get in. They had to cut the side of the water tank out to get her out.
No shit. Okay,
because there was no way to get her out.
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking.
Because how do you do? You know, when it's only three quarters of the way.
If you wanted to go swimming in one of those things, how do you close the lid? And actually, I think when they went up there, the lids were open on like two of them.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, this is your drinking water and everything else.
And it's
you guys
not
worried about
the
leaves
wind
or bugs or anything else.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this place is like a portal to hell.
Yeah.
Man.
It's not the wind pushing them open. It's not the wind closing them.
Right.
They're 20
pounds. They're
pretty aerodynamic.
They're pretty heavy.
It's a teeny little thing too.
Yes, she was very petite.
Well, I don't think she could defend herself against, let's say, you know, the average guy, where we're talking about a muscle mass far more than a woman. It's like,
right.
But
yep.
I want to know how much alcohol she actually had. You're on vacation. Heck, I was drinking out in Las Vegas, having a decent time. Not harassing anybody or getting out of whatever I normally do, but yeah. Right, and she's doing this alone.
That's what really stumps me. I could never go to a place like L.A. by myself. There's no way.
Right. I know, you know, she's a single woman and this and that, but still, it's like, man, I'm telling you.
She's a single woman who has a mental illness.
Right. The impulsiveness. That, and you know, she probably, it sounds like she's been used to living alone for a while.
Right.
She's going to school in British Columbia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still, it's just really.
But you know, finding out that you rented a room near Skid Row could be very stressful and could activate her manic side.
Right. I mean,
I can't say that it didn't.
When you look at that video, it looks like she's playing with somebody or joking with somebody or like she's having a conversation. Like, okay, so
she kind of hides in the
something
corner
else.
I thought that too. Who's she hiding from?
Something else that I picked out from this this website was body language. They had an evaluation of body language by a professional who does this for a living. So when you're talking about body language in the case of Elisa Lam, they say that she does not appear afraid. So the wide arm swings that she's doing at her sides, her feet position is very neutral.
Mm-hmm.
She's not, you know, when somebody's anxious, they tend to like stay close to themselves.
Yes.
The motions are very tight. She's very loose. She looks very relaxed. So she's not afraid at all.
You know, that's a good point. And also, when you're afraid, you do one of two things. Like, instinctively, we've been around for hundreds of thousands of years. We figured it out. You either run, feet don't fail me now, I'm out of here, or you freeze.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm in a hiding spot.
Yep.
Don't move. You shouldn't do either of those.
Right.
And there's been, you know, I ride an elevator six days a week. I only do it for a floor or two, but more than once I've waved my hand in front of it going, what the hell's going on with this elevator? Let's go already.
Right.
It's like, if, you know, the eye that's like catching some, get out of it.
Yep.
You know, come on, I got 11 o'clock. It's 10:59. Let's
right. So the next thing that she does is she moves to the right corner of the elevator. Mm-hmm. And she clasps her hands and has her feet close together. Now, that is a very anxious stance, mm-hmm. but it's not fear. So she's not afraid at this point. So then she jumps out of the elevator, and she places her feet wide.
And she actually goes out in a hallway.
Yes.
If somebody's after you, why are you doing that?
But there's no fear again, and there's almost like a confidence about it. You know, like she's confident about what she's saying or who she's talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Then at that point, for about 16 seconds, she does that strange arm clawing. That denotes, I guess, sexual interest, potentially, or playfulness. I don't know. But if there's somebody outside the elevator, she's playing with them. You joke around with people when you like them, you know, like you pick on them or whatever.
Are you,
that's what
yeah.
it seems like.
Are you familiar with the part of the story with the tuberculosis group and the research
guys? I'm going to get to that.
Yeah, because we're leading to that, right?
Cause I'm going to get to that.
With the Nosy suit or something?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm not touching that. That's why I said
yeah.
I'm not doing anything with
I will absolutely
You know what? That could
touch
certainly
on that.
Be true.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know nothing about it.
So the next thing that she does is she turns back to the elevator, and she does some steadying. So it's almost like she's having some sort of vertigo or something, and she's staggering. So it made people wonder, you know, was she drugged? How would she be able then to get
See,
into the tank
here
on her own?
This, for me, this is all a dry hole until we get it up to 20 frames a minute, or
right.
20 frames a second like it's supposed to be, and we get that extra minute back. Because
yep.
until
yep.
then, this is all doctored.
Right.
This ain't any different than the Wizard of Oz. It's like, sorry.
God bless you.
I can't
so then,
take any stock in any of this. Unless somebody rips her head off, or
right.
she rips somebody's head off.
So then, at that point, she fixes her hair, which I guess is a confidence thing, and it's also
it's a
sexual thing. She's smiling, at least in kind of a social manner, but it seems to be, at some points, it seems to be anxious. So she's not really smiling necessarily at somebody, you know. The hand and arm gestures, they say that it could be... I'm going to have to take all
me.
Of this shit out. Do you have
that
to belch out
that?
That
was not me.
That was one
Seriously.
Time. I haven't done it any other time.
That's why I married her, everybody. I'm going to leave this
we'll
in.
We'll take it out in post-production. Don't worry.
God, no. I'm going to leave it in.
That was
for
one
belching.
Time.
That's
People
just,
in India are going to be like, what the fuck is the matter with America?
Ladies,
the food is good.
Ladies.
What are you eating? You're not eating anything.
Focus. Ladies,
oh my God.
Ladies, lady and gentlemen users, that's what we do in Milwaukee.
Right.
We're grabbing a can or we're grabbing
oh
a bottle
God.
And the,
okay.
the belch is Titanic.
So, yeah, the hand and arm gestures... says, you know, it could be due to narcotics, she could be having a conversation. She then gets up on her toes, and that's an indication of joy or enthusiasm. So it's almost like she's happy or excited. And then there appears to be some sort of, she's playing like hide and seek, almost, in the elevator. There's some presence of anxiety, but there's no fear. So, that's what I got for that. So really, I mean,
you know, I think I read through some of that too, and I
yeah,
was,
yeah. But so really, I mean,
that is nothing more than
if we're you know if we're dissecting this elevator video, so what's good about it? Like, it would be different if the video gave info about her disappearance, but why the extra footage of the doors just opening and closing? YouTuber Lorden Arts said. It would be different if the video showed the person of interest or showed Lam going to the roof with someone. And it amazes me that those videos do not
right.
exist or have not
right.
surfaced.
Now, the conspiratorialists would say, well, they do when somebody's got them. I don't buy it. The
right.
only thing that elevator shows me is, okay, at this point, she was still alive.
Right.
And other than one 60-second gap, she was alone.
Right.
But that elevator also stayed open for a really long time.
Yeah, no, that's,
it,
yeah,
it did.
That's another
it did.
Thing.
But
she's pushing buttons, though,
she pressed the door, the whole door button. the door open.
And is she doing that repeatedly? I mean, she's pushing a whole
minutes.
Lot of buttons.
That's 2 minutes.
Is it?
It buys you two whole
really?
Minutes. Yes.
Oh, I didn't.
The people that
not the
went
elevator
in,
that, it's not the elevator at Greenfield that I ride, but okay.
But you have to consider too that the Cecil Hotel is quite an old hotel.
Well, right, and that's okay. Yeah. So I'm sure somebody's timed it where hey, let's push that damn button.
So the YouTubers that went in there.
So that makes perfect sense then.
Yeah. So the YouTubers that went in there actually timed it.
And if she doesn't know that, she would be going, "What WTF's going on with this thing with this elevator?" It's like,
but it looks
no,
like,
lady, you're gonna wait.
It looks like she's waiting for someone.
It
looks like she's on this floor.
How many times have I done that?
She's on this floor, and she's checking to see if that person has come out of their room yet. She's jumping out. She's looking around. She's like, whatever. She's playing around. And then she leaves the elevator.
Yes.
Goes out towards the right-hand side and disappears. And
now,
the last time he's here.
If there's an attacker or someone that you are not going out in there, because the first thing I want to do is, okay, I'm in an enclosed space. I can get the wall to my back.
Right.
I'm not a good fighter. She's probably thinking to herself, but I don't want to be coming up behind me. That's an instinctual thing.
Right.
Now, there's something else going on that you might have. Mm-hmm. There's videotape in the hotel of two guys giving her a box of some. This is where the Raytheon thing comes on with the tuberculosis guys.
Oh.
Where they working on this? A day or two before the elevator thing, they have footage hotel the Cecil Hotel footage of two males coming up to her, and she obviously knew who they were. They hand her, like, a box, a present, or something like that, and then they're never seen again on any video in the Cecil Hotel, and she just goes up to her room or whatever. So my thing is, and the speculation was, okay, the LAPD knows what's in the box, they got the box, and they go, well, what the hell is it? Because I got a feeling, pardon?
How big was it?
No.
Shoebox?
It doesn't say. But the Wikipedia page of this whole thing is two guys with a box. What's her name? Lisa?
Lisa Lamb.
Lisa Lamb. Okay, there's a strain of tuberculosis that comes out just.
Which I'm going to get to.
Well, those two
I'm gonna
dudes
get to it.
Are supposedly connected with that.
I'm going to get to it.
So we're getting to it. But the box part, which it sounds like you don't know, they're involved with that, too. Huh. So. She's
well, there's also something called the Invisible Light Agency
that
runs out of the Cecil Hotel.
That's way too bizarre.
It has
for me
something to do with this whole tuberculosis thing.
See,
this is
way too much Men in Black stuff for me.
This is way too many. This is way too many people
hole.
Sitting on their computers at 3 o'clock in the morning who have gone down a rabbit hole, who are just grasping at straws
none
trying
of that
to make
sounds
sense
credible
of it.
To me. I'm sorry.
They're just trying to make sense of it.
You know, it's. Yeah, so I'm sorry for skipping ahead.
No, that's okay. So let's see. All right, so you can get to the roof via fire escape. Mm-hmm. Now, when I thought fire escape, I thought like a ladder on the wall.
Yeah.
It's an actual like full staircase.
I'm thinking it's never going to hold me.
And these, well, that's what I thought too. And then I was like looking at the pictures.
Yeah.
The windows are only like 2 feet off the ground. You open that window, it's basically like a door.
Yeah.
You walk out on the fire escape and you just fucking walk up.
Right. It's,
and there's nothing preventing
like,
anybody from going
up
there.
Yeah, it's like if there were 10 people going to the roof and you got pissed off that you didn't want to wait long, like, screw it, I'm going fire escape.
Right?
That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No.
Let's see. What else?
Here.
Okay, so another point that I wanted to make is that Lamb's phone was never found. But
say that again. Who?
Lamb's phone. Elisa.
Oh,
Lamb's
yes.
Phone.
Yes, yes.
Yes. Was never found.
Mm-hmm. But
so her Tumblr is still able to update after her death. Now
yes.
They say that there is a function on Tumblr where you can post preemptively. So like you can say, I want to post on Thursday and it's Tuesday. Well, you can set it for Thursday and get it to post.
Yes.
You can schedule updates on Tumblr like that. So it's like. That wasn't really something, like, it was like, you got into that rabbit hole, and then it was a dead end. And there was no rabbit,
see,
and there was no way to get anywhere else.
And my thinking on that is, and we're learning more and more about this on cable news every night, about
right.
cell phones and who listens to it, and
mm-hmm.
how we can, and everything else.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, if that came from a cell phone, it's like, they pretty much know, Wait a minute. Okay, we found her on the 19th. Somebody made an entry from her cell phone.
Well,
coordinates, blah, blah, May 8th.
Right.
Well, I read something where her personal phone, she lost it a couple days before she was there, and she borrowed a friend's while she was there in, where was she, L.A.?
L.A.
Hell, yeah.
So maybe that box was actually just the cell phone. But they never found her original phone, but I guess they never found her friend's phone either.
Right, yeah. Which, you know, leads me to believe that, like, maybe there were photos or something on there that could be incriminating.
What's on that dang phone?
Yeah, makes you wonder. There was also a bunch of shit about invisibility cloaks, and CIA operatives, and the elevator video, and the CIA using invisibility. I don't know. I was like, whatever. Okay, I'm backing out of this one.
Bill had to break the seal.
Oh, he had to break the seal. That's fine.
I believe that's what's occurring. Yeah.
So then, kind of what Bill was jumping into was Lamb-Elisa, which is the tuberculosis strain that hit Skid Row shortly after Elisa Lamb passed away. The this was actually the name for the test.
Well, you know,
for tuberculosis. So she disappeared. She disappeared weeks before this outbreak, but then this information came out. So it's like.
But they were drinking dead body, so they could have gotten.
They were. They were drinking human soup.
Just a thought. Just do.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Of all the ways that you could go, I don't know. I mean, that's the other part of it too. Like, if you're gonna go up on the roof and you're gonna kill yourself, why would you drown yourself in a water tank? Why wouldn't you just fucking throw yourself off the roof?
Well, that's what a lot of people said.
Like, it just it doesn't
go off the roof.
Yeah, I'm amazed that they have not been able to rule out foul play. Like,
me too.
That they were just like, yeah, no, there's no foul play here. It's fine. Yeah, whatever. Accidental death. Yeah. End of story.
Well, even if it was foul play, it was an accident.
There's a couple other things I was thinking about. I usually do my thinking in the bathroom.
In the can. Yeah.
Thank you.
While he was breaking
his
seal.
He's in there a lot.
Well, I suicide popped into my head, which is the dread of every psychotherapist. You know, there's people out there thinking, oh, you know, she wanted to kill herself. That's not a particularly good way to do it. Far more women attempt suicide than men do. Far more men, I guess, successfully complete suicide than women. Overdose is a way. That's not a particularly successful way to do it. Drowning? Now, to my recollection, there was no, they didn't say anything about, hey, there was a whole lot of water in her lungs, boy, this is how it happened. They didn't say anything about drowning. That would be very easy for any kind of, you know, coroner to come up with. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're sitting on that information, shame on them, because that's an easy.
Right.
You know, that would say, hey, she wanted to go swimming, she was psychotic, the medication was making her crazy, and she needed to cool off.
Mm.
So, we're not hearing of that.
Right.
But if she's going to commit suicide by going into the tank, why would she bother taking her clothes off?
That's another thing. And I think people said, you want to commit suicide, you're on the roof, jump off the damn building. Now, that's scary. I get it. I can understand why you wouldn't want to do that. But if you're killing yourself, are you really worried about how scary it is? It's like, men, hanging, all right, hate to say it, that's a pretty popular way. Men tend to go with the most lethal, which is bang, done.
Right.
It's a one and done scenario. You don't miss with that very often.
Women like poisons.
Right. And they didn't find that. So I'm not the suicide angle.
No.
This person did not. I see no evidence that this person wanted to die.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. She encountered somebody, a male, I'm convinced, who had bad intention, who either liked her or didn't like her in the beginning, but his whole thing was, the best thing I do is I'm throttling or killing somebody, and that's it. And maybe he hung out with her body for a couple of days.
Right.
That's a conspiracy theory on my end. It's like,
well, it's not like anybody in the fucking hotel is going to be like, hey, dude, what's the matter with that girl leading to that?
You know, everybody thinks, well, hey, man, we're wrapping this up in a matter of hours. Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is where the Quincy can come up with this, but how long was she in the water? They can kind of determine that, can't they? It's like, was it a week? I mean, give me a time frame.
Well, the time frame...
Was it 8 days? Was it the full 30 days?
The time frame that they gave was that she was supposed to check out on February 1st. So January 31st, February 1st.
Right.
When she disappeared, she's found on February 19th.
Okay, but she could be in some room in the fourth floor with Skeezix whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
For 9 days.
Yeah.
And then he goes, okay, I got to get around to doing something with it, with the body.
Right.
She could be, starts to stink to
Right. Yeah, well, she could be laying in some, see, honey, don't listen. She could be laying in some bathtub for 8 days.
Right.
Now, I'm sure at some point they go, hey, you know, you prune up after a while, mm-hmm. blah, blah.
Well, after a while.
They said she didn't have a whole lot of blood because they were getting it from her organs.
If you, bodies left in water, generally after a while, if you're queasy and you don't want to hear this, please stop listening right now. They bloat, and then the skin begins to slough off.
Right, like the frickin' Hindenburg.
So it, so it's basically like a latex balloon. It just sloughs off.
And
so
believe it or not, there are people who categorize that day by day at places like Langley, Virginia, with
the body from
I, I being for integrity. Right, so they got this mapped out. So I'm thinking, hold it for a minute. We already, okay, we have what should normally happen.
Yep.
Well, what's this, you know, where is she and what's normal? Is she not?
Yep.
I hate to say it, but they got all those permutations worked out.
So we kind of already
went
over.
As you can tell, I'm not a fan of the FBI right now, but, yeah.
So we kind of already went over the, very quickly, the tuberculosis outbreak. So what was it you were saying about?
Geez, I'm trying to remember. I didn't print it out because I write in case notes and I read that stuff at the same time and I'm listening to this. There was it had to do with Raytheon a little bit,
okay.
Which is one of my favorite companies because they are they're one of the leaders in how to shoot down somebody else's missile. Which I gotta tell you, I think that's gonna be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
They're big into the Iron Dome
in Israel.
Kind of a fan. I'm a closet fan of the Israelis. They seem to have a lot of things going for them. Also, I kind of like to knock down any missile that's headed for us. So, I'm kind of closetly watching this stuff. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're into, hey, what's the best biological way to kill, I don't know, whoever the enemy is on a mass scale. Because you also read, too, about the whole tuberculosis outbreak. Now,
what's the best way to get rid of a whole street full of vagrants.
That, and how do we develop a resistant strain of tuberculosis that's really going to make you sick?
Yeah.
And ultimately, we would prefer kill you.
Yeah.
But let's do it in, like, I don't know, 80 days, 60 days. Now, all this, whenever I start hearing that stuff, I just shake my head and I go, conspiracy theory, and, you know, the siren goes off in my head, but... So I don't know what to do with that.
There are people that
how does this girl get mixed up with that anyway?
Analyze this.
Well, yeah, this seems a lot like, hey, the government gave cocaine to people in the inner cities to see what it would do. It's like, come
on. And, you know, the moon landing was bullshit because it was shot in a fucking movie.
Right. It all has to do with
soundstage.
Hey, the moon landing couldn't have happened because the shadow is wrong on the American flag. And it's like, really? I go, okay, are you just going to blow all the credibility you could develop in a lifetime?
Right.
And it's like, come on, man. We got people on the moon who came back and said, hey, take a look at the dust on my boot. I'm sorry. So, here again, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't think there's a whole lot of conspiracy here.
Yep.
I think the LA Police Department said, move along, nothing to see here, let's squelch this.
I feel like the only conspiracy here is the LAPD trying to disguise its ineptitude
Hell
in solving this crime.
and bringing justice to the victim and sure. bringing justice to the victim's family. I think that that's the only real conspiracy that's going on here.
I have a daughter who lives on the east side of Milwaukee. Heaven forbid if something even close yeah. happened. I want answers. I want a minute by minute logical chain of what the hell happened here.
Right.
And if I don't
when we talk about what the hell happened here, so in regards to those cameras, there are cameras all over the exterior of the Cecil Hotel. The hotel staff have seen her, have said that they have seen her in the lobby alone, but there's no footage.
You know, you would think that for the own protection of a dang business where people come in and out on a daily right. basis, you'd have cameras everywhere. Other than the shitter, which
right.
you've already said. It's like, other than that, it's like, now I want a camera somebody walking in, and I want a camera somebody walking in 3 minutes later. If it takes more than 3 minutes, don't call me.
Right.
But it's like, seriously, it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's like I said.
This is 2014? 2013? I mean, we're well into the 21st century by the time this happened. I mean, I don't need satellite photos, but for Christ's sake.
I mean, there should absolutely be some sort of camera footage that... I mean, even if she went to a business...
She's here, she's on the third floor, she's on the second floor.
She went to have lunch. When you go to have lunch, if you go to Panera... You're on camera eating your fucking sandwich.
They could be. Like, we'll just call up the Panera video then.
They know that she went to lunch.
Yes.
And they know where she went to lunch. Well, they know that she went to this bookstore. You're telling me that a bookstore that close to fucking Skid Row is not going to have cameras?
I basically drive 25 miles to work every day, and I know I'm on the expressway. Mm-hmm. Every bridge overpass I'm going under, mm-hmm. they got my car, my license plate. No, Bill didn't do it. I can tell you why, because I can see Dopey Face and his car is going under the.
At 8:15 a.m. on Monday morning, he was on this expressway.
At 10:50, there's no way he could have robbed that bank. Right.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I feel like this will never end. Like, I feel like there will always be people who will be like, this was a complete conspiracy, and find something else.
Yep. Absolutely. There's enough unanswered questions where there's always going to be fuel for the conspiracy folks.
Yeah.
And, God love them.
You gotta do something.
But I think, long story short, people need to know the truth.
Right.
And if we had the camera footage, then we would know what happened in her last hours on Earth.
As, from talking to people as a psychotherapist, mm-hmm. study after study after study after study tell us the thing that gets people more upset than anything else mm-hmm. is just totally random, shake the dice, mm-hmm. crime.
Right.
People go berserk when that happens because it literally could be anybody.
Mm-hmm. It's the fear of the unknown.
She dressed like that. Right. It's the fear of the unknown, and it's, well, I literally could be next. They're snatching people out of their, as soon as they get out of their front doors in any neighborhood in America. Yeah. It's like, if it's them, well, I'm not them. That's okay. Or if it's here, well, I'm not there. No. Totally random. It's like, that's what really gets people upset, along with, why aren't we getting the story?
And I mean, ultimately, I think, as a podcast that strives to find the truth in things, we talk a lot about haunted places, we talk a lot about unexplained events, we tackle some of the true crime stuff, because, we do have some listeners who are like, yay, true crime, but this one in particular is just, it's very, very disturbing.
There's a lot to look at here. This is Bailey Wick.
So just to kind of wrap it up, very interesting case.
Very interesting.
We'll probably never have answers. It's really unfortunate that the Lamb family will never have that answer. Certainly from the bottom of our hearts, if anybody close to the Lamb family is listening to this or will listen to this, you absolutely have our sincere condolences.
Absolutely. As a father of three myself, I cannot begin to understand what that's like. Just, you know, the not knowing, I deal with people, the not knowing part is the worst.
It's basically the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, no matter, you can deal with whatever happened if you know it happened. Yep. It takes a long time, and sometimes it's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
But not knowing, it's open to your imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. All right, so I think we are done here.
We'll do the 10-year anniversary and see if we found anything.
Right? Yeah, we'll go back.
I'll tell you what. In 10 years, we'll go to the Cecil Hotel.
There you go.
Cecil.
The hotel Cecil.
Cecil. If it'll even be there.
Which actually now is the Stay on Main. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah.
Because it's on Main Street.
I didn't figure Stay on Main. Is that some 20s thing?
Yep. Yeah. So guys, that is it for us this week. Thank you so very much for listening and putting up with us. Big thanks to Bill Steven for lending his expertise.
Don't put my name up there. I won't get fired, don't worry.
Alright, so as always, I am Janine Mercer signing off.
I'm Mimi Steven. That's
Uncle Bill.
And you?
Peace out.
St. James Infirmary. You know, I saw my baby there. Oh, she was stretched out on that long white table.